earlier, Gary was up here, and he prayed about reflecting on our past week and reflecting on things in our lives. And that's what I've been doing a lot this week. It's been a little different type of sermon prep week for me, because usually it's leave that last one behind and move on to the next one, maybe draw a little bit, but it's onward, we got the next thing coming. And I don't know if that's what you do, just say, okay, forget that, move on. But you know, usually it's looking ahead. I spent a lot of time this week thinking about last week's sermon. Not just thinking. Maybe that's not the right way of saying it. I was reflecting, because last week, as I was sharing, it was a lot of things that I had been thinking about because of my study. Because of some of the experiences, like I shared, some of the things I was thinking about with the Schultz Lewis cans and scolding myself for having certain thoughts and trying to take to heart the parable of the sheep and the goats, and I did a lot of thinking about those things the previous week. And so then I got up here and I said, we need to do more. And I said, we need to be looking for ways to show kindness. I said, we need to not just focus on our building. We need to go outside of the building. And I said, if you have an idea, we need your ideas. Go tell the elders. We've made a commitment. And this probably sounds familiar. I got real excited. And I confessed to Rachel afterwards that I might have been projecting a little bit of how I was feeling onto the congregation. And so I've spent a lot of time thinking about that stuff. But even more than that, I've been trying to spend the last week doing some of those things. So I've spent a lot of time on the same things as last week, where the previous week I was thinking about them, and I was trying to do them this week. And it's been a good week with doing that. It's led me to revise a little bit of what I was saying last week. I don't disagree with some stuff I was saying last week, but I've been able to maybe appreciate and think of a little differently the sheep and the goats and the call to do kindness in the world. And I said, well, I'm going to preach about living with kindness. I've gotten a chance to think about some of these things. And so I'm going to touch on some things from last week and maybe get a little different angle on them. It has been nice that, you know, I stood up here and complained for a few weeks when we were talking about patience. I said, when you ask God to develop patience, you get the opportunity, and that's hard. Well, I've discovered if you ask God for opportunities to show kindness, you get those opportunities too. And you know what? Those feel nicer. You see the opportunities. Maybe they've been there the whole time, and I'm just you just notice them more. But God puts the opportunities to show kindness and to serve when you ask for that. And so I've had a nice week of doing a lot of service and kindness, and it's made me think about what I was saying. And my first revision from last week, and this is probably a trap that a lot of preachers fall into, maybe the answer isn't just do more. I probably certainly shouldn't have said we need to do more, because I don't know what exactly you're doing. I know what I'm doing. I projected that there. But a lot of times we say we need to do more, and looking at the sheep and the goats, and I talked myself into a system of doing things in order to earn something. And I think if we spend much time in our Bibles, we know that there's a lot more to it than that. I thought it was interesting that we were in Titus this morning in class, because I found myself looking at a verse from Titus this week. It's in the bulletin there. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We need, I'm still going to say, we need to show kindness to the world around us. Maybe we got a little carried away with the sheep and the goats. Because it's about what Jesus is doing in what we are doing. It's about the way God puts us in a position to do something. It's about the way God has saved us. And like I said, I felt like I've done some good stuff this week. Now, Rachel and I have talked about it, and we're both trying to seize some opportunities. But if I'm being honest, while I'm proud of some of that, and I want to continue doing that, and I'm glad that I was able to see those opportunities, I don't believe that anything that I did in this past week has earned myself a better place in heaven, or could do so. I don't believe that I am any more saved today because of any kindness that I have shown this week, nor do I think that I would have been any less saved if I had passed on those opportunities. Yes, sheep and the goats, whatever you've done to the least, that matters. But it's not the things that we do that are going to save us in that way. But what I've really gotten this week, rather than earning anything more, or rather than putting myself in a better place in God's eyes, what happens when we do show that kindness, and what happens when we do take those opportunities to serve, if I recognize an opportunity to show kindness today, it makes it easier to recognize an opportunity tomorrow. The more that I act in kindness, the more natural it becomes. The more that we are keeping our eyes open and the more that we are seizing those opportunities, I think the more we start to act like Jesus, Bill made an interesting comment on Wednesday when we were talking about the way Jesus did things. We were talking about his parables. He says, I don't think Jesus sat up at night preparing the next day's parable, you know, writing out, okay, I think tomorrow, mustard seeds. You know, I don't think Jesus prepared in that way. He understood the gospel well enough, internalized it, and knew his audience well enough that he was able in the moment to give those lessons. I think the same thing. I don't think when Jesus showed his kindness, he's not thinking, tomorrow I'd like to find a leper. Instead, he sees someone with a need and responds, recognizes that opportunity to show the glory of God, to show somebody what they need. And so when we act like Jesus in that way, by seeing things in those moments, we start to see people the way Jesus sees people. We start to treat people the way Jesus treated people. And just maybe, we start to look like Jesus to those around us. We start to look like Jesus. Last week we said, when Jesus looks at us, is he going to see a goat or is he going to see a sheep? Well, maybe the better question is, when the day comes, is God going to look at us and say, you look like my son? Maybe that's a better way of thinking about it. And I do think that when we are serving like Jesus, and when we're looking for opportunities to serve like Jesus, God's going to open those doors to do so. I think those opportunities are there. And when we are trying, God's going to give us that chance. I was meeting with an old friend from college recently who has been working with an organization in Detroit called Hope House. And their goal is to, they work with children of all ages, working towards literacy and having Bible studies and forming relationships. And basically their goal is the kids of Detroit, get them to graduation, get them to Jesus. And he's been working with them for a while, and he was sharing some of the things that they've been doing. He said they set a goal. They identified in the next community over from where their house was located, there was a school that is kind of an at-risk school and troubled. And they said, we want to find a way to be involved with that school. And so there was a house nearby, and they tried to buy it. And the guy that owned it had an asking price that was way too high. He said, but then this year he came back and said, I just want rid of this house. If you'll take over tax payments, I'll give it to you. They said, I think we can find a way to do that. And this house is directly across from the school that they had targeted. They said, we want to help that school. And so they started trying to find ways to be involved in that school, doing programs and helping out in classes. And he said, and we had the strangest conversation. So the principal of the school came to the head of Hope House and said, Detroit City Council decided that every school should have some specific associated nonprofit organization that we are teamed up with to try to help both ways. And he said, they said, City Council says that's important. And they told us that we didn't know what to do, so we just put you guys' name down. Is that okay? So we are officially documented as the nonprofit for your school, and that's going to be fine. And he was telling me about how they're trying to serve this community, and the doors are just opening. And it's incredible how God works like that. When we say, I want to show kindness, I want to serve, God says, I have some opportunities for that. And so it's not about go do more. It's about have our eyes focused to the things that God wants us to do. It's about trying to act like Jesus. And it turns out Jesus did an awful lot to show kindness. Still does. And the love of God gets shown. And we do some of that here. We do a lot of that here. There are incredible things. I came in yesterday to set this up. We'll get to that. And I saw there's already vegetables on the table. We just mentioned that on Sunday, and there's already stuff being done for Schultz Lewis. And Tuesday, we're talking about what things we're doing, and Betty took a whole bunch of blankets to go put tags on them, and those are going to Romeo Fire Department. And it's going to be given out to people who need them. Things are being done. And so last week when I said, Jesus isn't going to ask how nice our building is, that might be true. But it should not diminish the things that we're doing. He might not ask, how clean are your rooms? He might not ask, how new are your doors? But those are a part of the ministry going on here. He might ask how we are using what we've been given. He might ask how prepared we are to serve based on what we have here. We've been given a great blessing with this building. And the things that we've been doing to clean things out, to fix things up, that is important because we need to be prepared to serve those that we have an opportunity to serve. Spent some time thinking about this, and I know I've shared this with some of you, but when Rachel and I first came here, we were first starting to talk about the possibility of working here at Romeo, we noticed that even though there were not usually kids here, that everybody was showing us, here are the things we're doing to get ready for the kids. Lois showed Rachel, here's what we're doing. Look at the painting that we're doing in the room down here. And here's how we're fixing up here because we want to be ready. You may have been in churches that say, we will work on that when the kids get here. That's not what this congregation has done. And so, what we do here with our building is to get ready to put ourselves in position to serve others. It's true that we can't hole up here in the building and just wait for people to just stumble in because, golly, you have really nice new doors now. But our building is a significant factor in our ability to serve our community and to show that kindness. It matters. It's not all that matters, but it matters. And so last week I said, we're doing work in the building. I mentioned the challenge that the elders put out at the beginning of the year. I said, we're going to spend some money this year, try to do something. I said, we've done a lot with the building. What else have we done? Go tell the elders what we need to do. Tell me what we need to do. We need to get doing something. I've been thinking about that too. You know, another pitfall for a preacher is to think in terms of programs and projects. Programs and projects are nice. They are tidy, and they're easy to get running, and they're easy to point to. What are you doing? We got a program. It's got a fancy name, and we're doing something. But as I've been reflecting on all of this, the sheep and the goats, and on the call to kindness and service, I want to make another revision. It's not the church's job to come up with projects and programs for the congregation to do. It's the church's job to bring to one another's attention when we have an opportunity to help, though. If there's a need and an opportunity to serve, a chance to show kindness to those around us, to do good in our community, we ought to make each other aware of that. It doesn't have to be done through official networks and channels. But we need to be looking out. A small act of kindness can answer a big need in a big way. We've been talking about that. It's true. But what about several small acts done together? A flurry of Christ-like actions done by people seeking to be Christ-like. We want to change the world. We've talked about that. It's not going to be a church program or project, but a flurry of kindness that turns into an avalanche of God's love. We can do that together. And so, last week I said, if you have an idea, tell one of the elders. Scratch that, here's the new one. If you have an idea, tell anyone. Tell someone. We have a desire to reach our community. We have a desire to do something. If you know of something, get your brothers and sisters involved. If you need money to do that, go talk to the elders. They've got some. If you need a big mouth to get the word out, I'm your guy. I can do that. If it's a more delicate situation, better handled behind the scenes with a smaller group, let's do it. I'm sure there are things going on that I don't have a clue about. No comments on that. It doesn't have to go in the bulletin to be worthwhile. So, in a way, today's message is the same as last week's message. In another way, I'll turn that on its head and say, there's a lot more to it than we just need to do more. I do want to share with you this morning one opportunity that we have. I mentioned Hope House and the work that they're doing. I was talking with my friend Riley, like I said, and I said, I think we would like to help and like to be in partnership with what you're doing, because they're doing a lot of good work. I said, can we come up with something other than just giving you money? Because I know you'd like that. But I know there's a lot of other things we can do, too. And so we were brainstorming, and I said, well, is there something we could do to help provide for your day-to-day functioning needs? I said, like, maybe give us a different commodity item every month, and we can just flood you with it. And he said, he went and talked to the people, said, that'd be nice. We only have so much room. I said, but here's what we can do. They wrote out a list of, here's what we use in a month in our supplies. And this is what the list said. It's not a lot, but it'll make a big difference. We've not committed to anything with them other than that we care and would like to help. So this is certainly not a strong arm. If you are interested in helping Hope House, we're going to see how much of this each month we can end up getting. If you would like to choose something from up here and say, I'd like to provide that for Hope House for each month, at least to start out for the next few, pick it up, move it to the other side of the table across that orange line there. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to commit. If it's something you decide you'd like to do, move it on over. Once a month, we'll take it out there. The plan is once a week they do reading with their kids, where they bring in people to be read to by the young kids, especially the elementary ones. And my plan is, each month I'm going to take the supplies on one of those reading days, and I'm going to get read to by some kids at Hope House. And I'm going to let you know when I'm doing it, because if anybody says, I'd like to come along, we're going to take however many people would like to come get read some books by some kids at Hope House, and we're going to take them some supplies. If you would like to join in that partnership, that'd be awesome. They're doing good work there. I've got some information about some of the things they're doing, if you want to check it out. So that's one thing I came across, and I'm excited about that partnership, and Riley, my friend, is very excited about that partnership. God has blessed this congregation, and I think God is using this congregation to bless this community. I think this is a congregation that cares about showing kindness and cares about service. And one of the reasons I started talking to Riley about this is because I told him, I've got people that keep saying, what can we be doing? And maybe here's one thing. And if you do have ideas, tell somebody about it. Because we got some hearts for service in this room. And so, and this kind of sounds like the time we wrapped up the other fruits of the Spirit. We're done talking about kindness. I hope we are certainly not done. When I said, I'm going to be done talking about kindness. Hopefully we are not done talking about kindness. It is something that is important in that it truly, maybe more than many of the others, these fruits of the Spirit, I think kindness makes us really look like our Savior. It's one of those traits that if I'm talking about You know, Jesus the man, how Jesus acted as a human, I really think of kindness. And I'd like to be mistaken for Jesus in that way. So, I don't know if you feel like we're standing in the same place as last week or a different place. Either way, I hope that we can move forward together. If there's anything you need this morning, if there's anything you need to share, if there's any prayers you need, come let us know. If you choose to come help that, come do that after service or whenever. If there's anything you need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the